This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You just want to share a mic here for this segment?
I'd love to.
Come on, get in close. Ben and Woods back with you to the
together here. 97.3 The Fan.
our esteemed engineering leader here, JR, is trying to fix our internet in the studio. He's sitting in Woods' seat, though. Kind of close.
Is this the closest I've ever been to you?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, no, it's true.
Yeah. But so we'll get by as the best we can for the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
It almost feels like a full-time job, keeping just tabs on the Padres' injuries, ups and downs, comings and goings right now. And it's not all bad news at the moment for the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado seems to be getting a little bit healthier, back in the lineup, you know, producing. His average over the last month is over 300. We'll see when the power is going to fully come back. Yu Darvish is scheduled to come off the injured list tomorrow and return. We'll see what he's got, and hopefully he'll look like he did before he went on the injured list. Was pitching really well, had that 25-inning scoreless streak. Jurickson Profar is continuing to deal with the patellar tendonitis in his knee, but as he promised when he left the game on Friday night, he said, "I'll be out Saturday, but I will be back on Sunday." And he was back. He had another double yesterday. First time in his career he's had doubles in three straight games, I saw. So, you know, Jurickson may not be quite as hot as he was the beginning of the year, but he's been awfully consistent at the plate and continuing to do his thing. Fernando, though, is a story that I'm not sure what's going on right now with Fernando Tatis Jr. On Friday night, very scary moment. Obviously, got hit in the elbow in the third inning, and then two innings later was taken out of the game.
Begs the question, a gentleman of his importance and status in the game of baseball today, who, by the way, gets, I would say they pitch him in. That's the way to get Fernando Tatis Jr. out, as is the way to get most great hitters out, up and in. Down and away. Up and in, down and away. They've been doing this for 100 years.
He's also aggressive. He's aggressive. He'll crowd that plate a little bit.
And he'll lean out over the plate. An elbow guard and one of those arm bars might be a wise investment for that young man, right? Wouldn't you think? Yeah, it may be, you know, it may impede your swing a little bit, take some getting used to or whatever. But when I saw him get hit the other night, my immediate thought was, oh, he'll be fine. That's right where they hit you in the in the arm guard, but he didn't have one on, and it was what they call it, triceps contusion, in the left tricep.
Yeah, but it was really close to the bony part of the elbow as well, which
Mama,
is a concern.
And the not so funny bone.
And you know, I think like a lot of fans, I'm going, well, why doesn't he wear one of those things? I mean, he probably thinks it's uncomfortable and maybe hinders his swing a little bit. But you've seen it since, you know, Barry Bonds was the first guy who, like, made it absolutely seem essential to wear that elbow guard to try to stay healthy, because you just never know. If they're going to pitch you inside and you're going to take one there, this is what can happen. So, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. has learned a lot of hard lessons already in his career.
Yes, he's very much like my children. Just the lessons that they learn, they sometimes have to learn the hard way.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Hey, and not the easy way.
So he's also dealing with the quadriceps injury as well, which apparently has been going on for a month. You can tell with the way he's running or not running as well as he normally does that it's been bothering him. There was a back and forth between reporters and Mike Schilt after the game yesterday about the status of Fernando Tatis Jr., and you're going to come away with it from it somewhat optimistic, somewhat pessimistic, and somewhat confused as to the status of Fernando Tatis Jr. But here's what Mike Schilt had to say after the game.
He's available today. We didn't find the spot for him. He's available to hit today. There was a couple of different moments where we were just like a hitter away or a matchup away. Wasn't going to do it to do it. And even in the sixth, there was a window for that. Just didn't present itself due to that spot.
Just to make sure, you didn't end up getting any imaging. I think you said the other day you guys weren't expecting
on the elbow. No, that's correct. He nothing with the elbow that we feel like is holding him back.
Is it just inflammation in there right now? Is that gone down mostly? Is there
in the elbow
clear diagnosis on what he's dealing with there?
In the elbow?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just soreness. You know, but he was having trouble straightening it. But the elbow wasn't holding him back.
How about the quad? How is that? And is that equal concern at this point?
It's something we're still evaluating.
Was the fact that he's available, should we read anything into that as a positive? I guess it could be worse. Or
you know, listen, we're still making internal decisions and discussions, including with him and our medical group, and we'll have a little more clarity on what that looks like moving forward of his path.
That doesn't sound great to me, to be honest.
Well, let's parse it a little bit. While we parse it, if you want to call in and be a contestant for Take on Woods here in a couple of minutes, you can get in line. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. All right, so really, he was very clear. Not any concern about the elbow. Sore, but it's not the issue. They're not even getting an MRI. They're not even looking at it. That's not what it is. His elbow is fine. It hurts, but it's fine. They're not worried about that. When they asked him about the quad, though, that was a lot more opaque in the comments. Internal discussions are still going on. We haven't made any full determinations about what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm exactly feeling great about the elbow either, because he said, A, we didn't do imaging on it, which I don't know why you wouldn't. And then B, it was he can't straighten it, so that's not good, right? I mean,
but he also said it's not limiting him.
But if you can't straighten it, isn't that the definition of limiting? Yes.
I don't know.
Can you straighten your elbow? No. Okay.
So I told you you were going to come away from this discussion a little bit confused.
So you're in fact limited, I would imagine. Yes.
Except that was the one thing he said he wasn't limited by the elbow.
But he's limited in the fact that he can't straighten it.
But he was available to pinch hit yesterday in the right circumstance. Just never had the right circumstance to get him in there.
A lot of people in the chat, and we need to table this one. Write it down on the rundown. Let's do it at 7:35. Was there any quote-unquote retaliation yesterday, Ben?
Not that I was aware of.
Okay. We need to bring this topic back again, because I see a lot of people on the skipper for not retaliating. Again, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit on the left elbow, knocked out of the game, and has not played since. And I want to talk again about the manager's role in all of this. Let's do that at 7:35. We can take your calls certainly about that as well. So I think that's definitely an interesting topic today, one that we bring up a lot because, you know, he does get thrown at a lot.
But we are concerned about what, for whatever health concerns, they are there for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You're not going to be stunned if the Padres make a decision and put him on the injured list.
Even a little.
I mean, they're already 3 days in. It's a 10-day injured list.
If you watch him play, and you watch him run after balls or try to score from first, I mean, it's not there. It's very dicey.
Yet he went 4 for 5 with a home run like 3 or 4 days ago.
Yes, he did. Pre-hit on the elbow, but still the lingering quad.
That was still bothering him when he had a huge game. And when he's gone on his month of June has been on a
bad quad.
On an entirely bad quad. And he's still been one of the most productive offensive players in baseball. Can you afford to sit one of the most productive players in baseball to try to get that quad healthy, if that even is an option for the Padres to do right now?
Man, those quads, those hammies, those calves, they just linger. The groin, the little groin tweak just lingers.
Giancarlo Stanton's out for 4 weeks with a hamstring strain.
Yeah, man.
You just can't move. You can't run.
And he's a DH.
Yeah.
All they need him to do is go up and swing as hard as he can.
Can't do that.
You know, Fernando Tatis Jr., more is expected of him. He's a platinum glove right fielder. You need him out there, and you need his bat in the lineup. So really, really tough. Really, really tough break for the Padres if he does end up going on the IL for any extended amount of time. You know, you figure we can cover a week, but anything beyond that, you're looking at making a move, to be honest, to get somebody to try to replace him in the lineup.
Well, they had, and it was in the notes yesterday in the UT. Bryce Johnson was flown from AAA El Paso.
I was going to ask, who is the next
to Petco Park in case they needed to make some sort of move offensively? So they were at least to the point where they were to a decision that we better have a player on hand if we decide to make a roster move. That can't give you a lot of confidence or encouragement if you're hoping that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be just fine.
No, I mean, and I have a source that told me that his elbow is worse than we think, and he could potentially be out for an extended length of time. Now, I don't know if this source has got accurate information. When I heard Dennis asking that question and then the follow-up about the elbow, I wonder if Dennis had heard the same thing that I had. So, we'll see what happens. It's not good news, though, right now. I mean, I would love to be so proven so wrong and have him out there in the lineup tonight, got treatment on my quad, you know, the elbow feels fine, just a bruise, and go from there. But I have a lot of respect for all these guys that are playing through it right now, and the list is long on the San Diego Padres. Luis Arraez playing through the shoulder. Manny Machado's playing through everything he's played through. Fernando Tatis playing through everything he's played through. Jerkson Profar playing through everything he's played through. On and on we go.
Did we even mention Campy going down?
Campy's down right now.
Brett Sullivan got called up.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys. It's hard for me, man. It's hard for me when I see guys ripping dudes that are trying to play hurt because we don't have any other options. I mean, these guys are going to give you everything they have, and I do have a lot of respect for that. It is not easy.
All right, coming up at 7:35, we'll talk about Friday and Saturday's game, the game where Tatis got hurt, and whether or not retaliation is required, called for at this point.
It's over now.
I'm so sick of that conversation.
We'll discuss that coming up. Right now, though, let's get to today's game. It's time for Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go to line 4. Is this Ryan?
Yeah, this is Ryan.
All right, Ryan, you're in. You want to play Take on Woods?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you're the guy today with a chance to qualify for the grand prize, 2-night stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas, tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins, and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. All you have to do is beat or tie Woods in our 5-question musical trivia challenge, and I'll even give you the category here to give you the advantage. You can go with It's Not False. Think of things that are opposite of false. Rick's Cafe, those are musical artists named Rick, and From All Sides, 5 song titles, all featuring a different side. So of those three, It's Not False, Rick's Cafe, or From All Sides. Ryan, what would you like to play?
Let's take the sides, please.
All right, the new category. We're coming at you from all sides today on Take on Woods, specifically 5 song titles, all featuring a different side in the title. You'll have 60 seconds to get as many as
like
you can.
Mashed potatoes, green beans.
No, sides. Not side dishes. Just different sides. You'll get it as you go along. 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We can come back to it if there's time remaining. The first question's our two-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the title, which includes a side, and the artist to score that point. Ryan, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paulie begins the music. The category from all sides. Good luck, Ryan. Let's take on Woods.
How long will I slide? It's the Other Side, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Correct. One of the first songs they ever wrote, which 2003 debut hit by The Killers, remains the band's best-selling song more than 20 years later.
Brightside.
Correct, Mr. Brightside. I'll give it to you. Subjects considered pretty taboo in the 1970s were a main feature of which hit considered Lou Reed's signature song?
Pass.
Which Phil Collins song from his No Jacket Required album shares a title with a Pixar movie about the inner workings of a teenage girl's mind?
Pass.
Usually considered a Christmas song, despite never referencing the holiday, which 1940s classic has faced criticism in recent years for lyrics, in which a guy tries to get a visiting girl to stay the night. Subjects considered pretty taboo in the 1970s were a main feature of which hit considered Lou Reed's signature song?
Walk on the Wild Side?
Correct. Which Phil Collins... Okay, you got three. You got Other Side by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mr. Brightside and Walk on the Wild Side. Inside Out is the Phil Collins song and Pixar movie, and Baby, It's Cold Outside...
Absolute creep.
Is the creepy Christmas carol that we've got going. It doesn't even mention Christmas. I don't know why we play it at Christmas.
I don't either.
Very odd. All right, your score is locked in. Stay on the line, Ryan. We'll see if it's good enough today. Woods comes back in with no knowledge of the category. Coming at this blind. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Ryan.
How long
it's Red Hot Chili Peppers, Other Side.
Correct. One of the first songs they ever wrote, which 2003 debut hit by The Killers, remains the band's best-selling song more than 20 years later.
Mr. Brightside?
Correct. Subjects considered pretty taboo in the 1970s were a main feature of which hit considered Lou Reed's signature song?
Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Correct. Which Phil Collins song from his No Jacket Required album shares a title with a Pixar movie about the inner workings of a teenage girl's mind?
Pass.
Usually considered a Christmas song, despite never referencing the holiday, which 1940s classic has faced criticism in recent years for lyrics in which a guy tries to get a visiting girl to stay the night.
I'll take your hand and swell. What's the name of that stupid song? Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Correct. Which Phil Collins song from his No Jacket Required album shares a title with a Pixar movie about the inner workings of a teenage girl's mind? You got four, and that's
Side.
A 4-3 win. Inside Out is that one.
How's it go?
How does that song go?
Yeah.
I don't think I can sing it for you. You'll know it if you heard it.
Why
can't you sing it? It's not the most familiar Phil Collins song.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you got four, and that gives you the win today, Woods, 4-3 in the category From All Sides.
Got it.
All right, Ryan, thank you for playing.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell. Mind if I move closer?
Yes, I do.
What's the sense of hurting my pride? I really can't say. Baby, don't hold doubt. It's cold outside.
One of the best bits that's ever happened on radio, by the way.
All right, we are going to come back with Don't Do This, including a moment that even non-golfers were talking about yesterday from the Travelers Championship final hole and the chaotic scene on the 18th green yesterday on the PGA Tour. That is coming up after
and,
a check.
Is Brian Kenny going to take
what?
His yeah. Mets
is
to task
Is he going
today?
To do anything
all right,
at all?
Coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. What's
dirty, filthy, cheating New York Mets. I am disgusted. Disgusted with what I saw yesterday. New York Mets closer Edwin Diaz now facing a 10-game suspension. Was ejected before he even threw a pitch. In the Mets' 5-2 win over the Chicago Cubs. Now, they have won 9 of their last 11, and he is going to be on the suspended list for 10 games.
That'll be announced today. There's no really ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No buts about it, my friend. They went out, they grabbed his hand, it was covered in some sort of gunk, goop. He said, no, it's just sweat and rosin. No, it was not.
Did you see the close-up of his
hand? Oh, my God, yeah. And what it looked like is I can't say on the radio. You know where my head's at, Paulie. You know exactly where my head's at. Remember something about Mary, and she takes her hand and rubs it through her hair, and her hair then stands straight up. That's what it looked like he did on his hand. All right, if you get my gist here. You know, I walked in last night after winning a championship. Both my kids in the kitchen, putting sticky stuff on their hands, trying to get better tilt on their sliders. Man, more spin. Bo's out there trying to increase his RPMs. I mean, these are the ramifications. Edwin Diaz, guy's just trying to spin the baseball. I'm just joking about that part. But, yeah, so he's going to be, you know, our guy, Bob Suarez, got hit, popped for it last year. It happens. They're going to continue to monitor this.
Suarez also said it was nothing more than sweat and rosin.
Sweat and rosin's a good bit.
It's not a great rule, though. There's no definition other than if the umpires feel they like feel it's it. Stickier than normal.
Than sweat and rosin and dirt. Yeah.
Right.
His quote was, I think it's the same. They asked him if his hand was stickier than usual. He said, I think it's the same. They always check me. They let me pitch. I will keep using the same thing because they didn't find anything on my glove, my hat, or my belt. No, just caked all over your hand.
Yeah, just all over his hand. I mean, his fingers were like stuck together.
Well, I'm sure Brian Kenny will hold his Mets accountable, just like he did with Joe Musgrove.
I wonder if he will play it down.
Joe Musgrove still has not been shown to have done anything wrong at all, by the way.
Right.
Yep. Correct. I wonder if he'll play it down the middle. I wonder if he will defend him, losing even more credibility, which is hard to do if you're Brian Kenny. But we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, they're going to be without Edwin Diaz for 10 games. That's a lot. That's a good deterrent, man. I mean, really, like... It's a really good deterrent to not do it. Missing 10 games as the closer is pretty gnarly.
All right, you missed quite the finish yesterday.
I heard.
You weren't watching the final round of the Travelers Championship elevated event on the PGA Tour as Scottie Scheffler made 3 birdies in a row, charging up the leaderboard against Tom Kim. Came to the 18th hole. Scheffler was 1 up on Kim. Scheffler put his ball on the fringe about 25 feet away. Kim nearly made an eagle from the fairway, like inches away from what would have been a dunk walk-off win in the tournament. So instead, they go to the green. Kim's got a putt to force a playoff, get to 22 under. But right before both players step up to their putts, 6 people come running in from the crowd. One runs like through the bunker, flying onto the green, throwing like smoke bombs in different colors, red and white smoke bombs all over the greens.
This guy got absolutely laid out.
The cops come out and they do the entire tackle on the green. But this is right.
Like
I mean,
Patrick Willis.
The hole is like 2 feet right there where they're about to putt for like the winning tournament. So. You know, there's
guys. 2 guys.
6.
6 guys.
6. What? There were climate protesters that stormed the green. Their T-shirts read "No golf on a dead planet" in black lettering on the front. It created a delay of several minutes while the protesters were dragged off of the green, charged with first degree criminal mischief. First-degree criminal trespass and breach of peace.
One guy's jogging like an old man and just gets leveled.
Yeah.
God!
I haven't seen a tackle like that since last year's Canadian Open when one of the Canadian golfers got tackled. He was trying to congratulate his fellow countrymen on the win. But so the tournament eventually continued. Kim made his putt to force the playoff. And then they actually moved the location of the hole for the playoff because they were playing the 18th again. Though they wanted to move it away from any potential damage and paint on the greens. And Scottie Scheffler ended up winning again with a par on the extra hole. His 7th win of the season. Before July, 7 wins. You know how many times Tiger did 7 wins before July? 0.
Wow.
Never. Scottie Scheffler and Arnold Palmer, the only two people who have ever done that. And he's won only big tournaments. He won the Masters, the Players' Championship, and 5 of the eight elevated events they've had on the PGA Tour this year.
He's like the Padres. He only beats the good in the good ones.
True.
He beats the good ones.
So he's having a remarkable season for the ages on the PGA Tour. So that's not the only climate protest in the news, though, this weekend. Because apparently with the Paris Olympics coming up, they are worried about the bad condition of the Seine River, the river that flows through the heart of Paris. Where
I would say it's a beautiful river, but it is not.
So they're intending to hold the open water swimming competitions in that river.
Can't do it there.
No. And because it has gotten pretty bad.
Ben, we rode bird scooters around Paris, and there were bird scooters floating at the bottom of the Seine. Like, every 20 yards, there's a bird scooter in the Seine.
I think they've been trying to clean it up for the Olympics, but they've only gotten so far. Now, there's a protest that apparently is going on today, and I don't know how effective this is going to be, but to prove how terrible the conditions the Seine has gotten, protesters are planning to all defecate into the river.
That means doo-doo.
Yes, into the river. Like, there's even schedules, like, depending on how far away you are from Paris, like what time you should poop in the river to make sure it's flowing right through Paris at the right time of the day. I don't know how many people are taking part in this, but it's a thing that's on social media. Like, today's the day to do your business in the Seine River to show everybody how dirty it is.
What that'll show them.
That'll show them.
Well, I mean, you're making it dirtier by adding your
dirt. Yes, exactly. You're not helping the cause necessarily.
What are they doing in it again? What's the event?
Open water swimming.
I worked my whole life for this. Yeah. I worked my whole life. I swam. I busted my tail.
The pinnacle of my
athletic achievement. And you're telling me that I have to potentially go swim in this doo-doo river through Paris.
If you're an open water swimmer, obviously you've probably swam in some not perfect conditions before.
For not perfect conditions is one thing.
There's a big difference.
Poop water is way, way different to me. How'd you feel about those protesters at the golf? It's golf. So that
I heard some golf people absolutely losing their mind. Like Randall these people Chamblee. Should never, you know, they should never
see the light of day again.
Throw them in jail forever. And I think it's pretty counterproductive. I mean, a golf tournament is not exactly the worst climate offender out there. Everyone's just out there playing golf.
Yeah, it's the
they want the attention.
They do, but
of the 18th green.
But yeah, there's some people that get mad that people play golf because of the resources it takes and, you know, the land that it uses. I understand.
I mean, that's a different issue. But in terms of open space, green grass, trees, that's actually good. Golf is actually good for the environment in that sense. I mean, yeah, there's some water usage. But in terms of climate change, we want more green open spaces in the world. So golf isn't the biggest offender there. I have some, at least the motivations. They want to save the planet. And to me, it's... You may be misguided and misdirected in how you're trying to do it, but they want a better planet for their kids and their grandchildren, and they feel like this is what's required. I disagree with that, but I can't totally say I don't have some empathy for people who all they want to do is make sure that the planet is going to be here for future generations.
Yeah, I like a rabble-rouser, too. I do. I like a rabble-rouser. I think, you know, sometimes the energy can be a little bit misguided. I did not see it live. I did finally find somebody on the planet that's slower than me, watching that one guy run across the green. But I got a really nice doo-doo this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Got a great DM from, he just asked me to use his first name, Ryan. Said, wanted to write this to you guys as a thank you. About 2.5 months ago, I was laid off from my job. Got a 6-year-old, 3-year-old, same here. Got an 8-month-old, too. Obviously, the timing and circumstance was less than ideal. The news of my layoff literally has not been shared with anyone other than my wife. Not my parents, my in-laws, even my closest friends, as I've been sort of embarrassed. I've always prided myself on being a great involved dad. During this time, I've had the opportunity to spend even more quality time with my kids, especially my baby. Times have been hard. I've had the consistent routine of putting in my AirPods every single morning, opening up the YouTube stream. The joy and positive vibes I get from the show you guys put on gets me on the right track. I know you guys always joke about mailing it in or not having your best show, but it doesn't matter to me. Your show is always something I look forward to, whether I listen live, need to catch up later. I haven't met you guys in person. We've interacted on Twitter. The way you run your show makes me feel like it's a big family. Well, after 2.5 long months, I start a new job on Monday. That's today.
Yes.
One in an industry I'm knowledgeable in, one with health benefits, one that will allow me to still be around and in my kids' lives, one that I will still have time to listen to the show and listen to you guys and Bus Bends and Adam's Balls. So thanks for always being there for me, even when you don't know that you are, Ryan. Made my day, Ryan. Good luck to you on the new gig today, man. And
most importantly, it's a job where you said you can keep listening to us.
Yeah, that is most important. And being with your kids. Yeah, 1 and 1A, we'll say.
Health insurance.
Yeah, health insurance. 1A, it's pretty 1B, good.
1B.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yeah, listening to us, mostly.
Mostly,
yeah.
Listening to us.
That feeling of being, you know, without a gig for a couple months with kids, it happened to me when Bo was a baby. The stress of that is just, there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing. The embarrassment that you feel. So, man, I'm so happy for you, proud of you, going out and getting that new gig today. Kick some ass, man. We're not going anywheres. We'll be here for you.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Seen a lot of the chatter on the YouTube stream about elitist golf courses and how it's bad for the world. Now, you were not at Goat Hill Park. It's the least elitist golf course you're ever going to see. They're not all like that. Some of them are, though. Some of them are pretty snobby. I will acknowledge that. Those are the ones that I really want. Those are the ones I want to play at most.
If you took every other golf course and made it, say, a public park or...
Yeah, how about that, Ben?
An area for more housing.
Yeah, your beloved.
That wouldn't be the worst thing.
There, yeah, but, you know, there's. Have you seen a lot of public parks you go to that no one's there at the public park and, like, no one's even using it? People are using golf courses all day long.
They really are.
I mean, they're
too many. Actually.
Absolutely packed right now because people love golf. It's a great pastime. And
Ben is very mad. He said there should be fewer golf courses. That way, the elitist tools who love it most, Ben, can exclude even more of the poor people they hate. That is actually that's dead on. That's dead
on.
That's
exactly Ben to a T.
To a T. But he plays his rationale is. Sorry, I play at Goat Hill Park. You can bring your dogs, you can wear flip-flops, and you can wear, you don't even have to wear a shirt. It's very non-elitist. And that's your home course.
It is very non-elitist, and it is my home course,
so
and I
say,
love it there.
You say, suck it.
Only when he's not at Rancho
Do
Santa
I want to play those elitist courses?
Yes,
yes
I do.
Oh, yes, oh, I do. Oh, as many as I can.
Now, they do a good job at recycling water there.
You know, California courses have done much better in terms of water recycling and using a lot less water in recent years. It's not an issue everywhere. Like, courses in Hawaii, they don't even have sprinklers. There's plenty of places in the world. There's plenty of rain. Yeah. Obviously, water usage is a bigger deal here in California. It's something they're always looking to do better at. But parks use, you know, water as well. I mean, it's anything that needs to grow grass.
So you're basically just telling everyone, back to your shanties. You go back to your shanties. I'm going to continue to play golf.
Damn you.
I am the Shooter McGavin of this show. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Want to talk about, you mentioned it, you teased it. All right, Fernando Tatis Jr., are they ever going to protect him? Is that a mission? Is that not important anymore? What's going on with that? And we'll take a look back at the previous two games of the Brewers series, all coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Woods is escorting Bo to the restroom. Because when you got to go, when you just got to go. You can't make a six-year-old wait.
Yeah, figure it out, Bo.
That's never a good plan. Like, no. Well, you know what? We've got one more segment here. Now, 12 minutes. I will take you to the restroom. That is just asking for trouble when you've brought your six-year-old to work. So I said, go. You'll be back probably by the time we get done with traffic, and we can talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. And if the Padres are ever going to take a stand. And I guess it wasn't with the Milwaukee Brewers, but say enough is enough. This pitching inside has got to be answered. And we will get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Friday night was a solid come-from-behind victory for the San Diego Padres. Fell behind, 4-1, and then rallied back for the 9-5 win. But in the course of that game, Fernando Tatis Jr., took that pitch off the elbow, ended up having to leave the game, and has not played since for your San Diego Padres. And you were wondering whether any time later on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you might see, you know, as we've been kind of wondering about for a while, you might see San Diego Padres pitcher throw one in toward one of the players on the other team. I don't remember seeing anything that I would classify as any sort of retaliation or message being sent to the Milwaukee Brewers. And that has been the case so far this year. That, you know, the Padres have not really answered any of these inside pitches, Woods. And I know it bothers you more than it bothers me because, you know, putting a runner on base in, you know, these close games that you can lose by one run quite easily, I don't ever know is exactly the right way to respond to an inside pitch.
Tough, man, because you saw it backfire against the Yankees and the Orioles when Victor Rodriguez hit Gunnar Henderson in the back after Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres were both hit on the hands up and in. I think they both stayed in the game that night. I'm not sure. But you saw them retaliate the next day. Gunnar Henderson gets on. I believe he stole second, then scored the go-ahead run. Yankees end up dropping 2 of 3 to the Orioles, their division rival. So I certainly understand the argument against it, but I do probably have more bloodlust than you on the show, especially when it comes to protecting a superstar player, a cornerstone player, one that when he gets hit on the elbows now hasn't played in 3 days. You know, and the only thing that kind of bugs me is this: it doesn't need to come from Mike Shildt. So, again, I don't want to alibi Mike Shildt here entirely, But it doesn't. It should not have to come from him. It should not have had to come from Bob Melvin. It should not have had to come from Jace Tingler. And it should not have had to come from Andy Green. It really should never have to come from the manager. The veteran pitchers, or let's be honest, the veteran position players need to say, hey, man, are we good with this? We're not? Okay, then let's let them know we've got that pitch, too. You always hear
money. That's all you gotta say. I got it.
Don't worry about it. Johnny Brito, we've got guys, Ben, that can go in and dot Rhys Hoskins on the hip and, you know, say, all right, let's, just so you know, we've got it in our arsenal as well. But again, that's the part for me that I've never really seen here is the guys kind of step up and say, no, this is not going to fly.
Now,
here.
Does anyone think that Fernando Tatis Jr. was being thrown out intentionally? To me, it's simply the strategy for Tatis is bust him inside and then try to get him on the outside slider. That's the best way. It's not always effective, but
I don't know that Aaron Judge was thrown at intentionally either, but he's a superstar that got hit in the hand.
My question is
in a rivalry game,
does retaliation, knowing that the San Diego Padres are a team that's not going to stand for this, and if we throw inside, they're going to throw inside at us, is that going to stop anyone from throwing inside at Tatis?
I
just don't think it's going to. If that's the way to get him out, they're going to continue to throw inside.
Well,
regardless of what the Padres do or do not respond.
Well, that's like saying I don't want to go to jail for assault, so you can just keep punching me in the face. It's fine. I don't want to throw a punch here. You just keep hitting me, and I'll just sit and wear it. Over and over. And again, it's not the first time, you know.
Are they going to stop punching you in the face if you punch back? I just think now you just have two people who are boxing and punching at each other, but I don't think it changes anything. Tatis will face inside pitching probably his entire career, no matter what the Padres do.
Inside pitching is different than, you know, where he gets pitched. Like, they're throwing inside, sure, but they're going up and in. Up and in is off limits. And, you know, the funny thing is in a retaliation scenario, you don't actually have to go up and into their guy. You just have to dot him on the shoulder on the butt and say, we got it too, man. Like, it's not like you tell your pitchers to cool it and we'll cool it and everything's cool, right? After that. But I just think, you know, the Mike Schilt needs to order a hit. Bit. I don't know that that exists anymore. Also, you know what? That is what's kind of embarrassed me about this team over the last 6 years of covering them with you guys, is that it never should be on the manager. It should never be on the manager. A player should see that and go, this isn't happening. Like, then the manager is kind of absolved of like, oh, no, man, just, you know, got away from him. I mean, it happens all the time. The game has policed itself for 100 years, and you don't need the manager to do it. It needs to come from the veteran leadership on the team, the veteran pitching staff, letting guys know that, like, if Yelich got dotted, you don't think he goes into the clubhouse and tells whoever hit Tatis, hey, just watch it, man. Come on. I don't want to sit up there and wear pitches because you can't control your fastball. Yeah, I think there is an effect of that. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Back in the 70s and 80s, bro, they would just every other hitter, they'd just go right after. Like, that didn't fly back then. So, again, man, he's a huge, huge piece of this team, this lineup, this city, everything. And he spends a lot of time on his ass. He does, and he has for the last 6 years.
I guess I would think it was a bigger problem if I was hearing any rumbling from the Padres, like, that they feel like they're a team that doesn't support each other, that no one cares about. And that's not the sense I ever get from the Padres. Even in the bad season last year, really wasn't a lot of, like, talk, like, guys that didn't have each other's backs or anything.
You know, there's an infallible way to show that you have your teammates' back, and that's it. And again, please don't misinterpret that I'm calling to hurt somebody or ruin somebody's career. I'm not. There's a right way to do it. I've said that 1,000 times. Like, you do not have to go up and in to Willie Adames or Rhys Hoskins or, you know, their best players. You do not have to go up to near their head. You don't have to go up near their shoulders. But you do need to go at their hip. You know, and it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad when you get hit in the butt. I don't have a lot of cake back there, but it still doesn't hurt that bad. You can wear it and you walk down first and know this is part of the game. And, you know, I think once he wears it, he goes back into the clubhouse and lets his guys know. Hey, because again, back when pitchers had to hit, it was a little bit different story. But yeah, man, it's just kind of a bummer to see. And like you said, well, I haven't heard any rumblings of them, you know, not getting along. or not having each other's back. I'm not saying this is a rumbling that that's happening. I'm just saying that they haven't done it to this point. They have never, you know, defended this kid and let him know, like, yeah, you're important to us.
I think this is kind of spicy. I'm curious to know what some of the tier ones think on this issue. And we have some time coming up in our next hour. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. We can open up the phone lines a little bit. 833-288-0973. Want to talk some Padres baseball with Ben and Woods. We also need to talk a little bit about those games on Friday and Saturday. Two guys with almost identical haircuts in Jackson, Merrill, and Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah.
Getting some big, big offense done for the San Diego Padres over the weekend. Talk about all of that coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben Woods is escorting Bo to the restroom. Because when you got to go, when you just got to go. You can't make a six-year-old wait.
Yeah, figure it out, Bo.
That's never a good plan. Like, no, well, you know what? We've got one more segment here. Now, 12 minutes, I will take you to the restroom. That is just asking for trouble when you've brought your six-year-old to work. So I said, go. You'll be back probably by the time we get done with traffic, and we can talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. and if the Padres are ever going to take a stand. And I guess it wasn't with the Milwaukee Brewers, but say enough is enough. This pitching inside has got to be answered, and we will get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So Friday night was a solid come-from-behind victory for the San Diego Padres. Fell behind, 4-1, and then rallied back for the 9-5 win. But in the course of that game, Fernando Tatis Jr. took that pitch off the elbow, ended up having to leave the game, and has not played since for your San Diego Padres. And you were wondering whether any time later on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you might see, you know, as we've been kind of wondering about for a while, you might see a San Diego Padres pitcher throw one in toward one of the players on the other team. I don't remember seeing anything that I would classify as any sort of retaliation or message being sent to the Milwaukee Brewers. And that has been the case so far this year. That, you know, the Padres have not really answered any of these inside pitches, Woods. And I know it bothers you more than it bothers me because, you know, putting a runner on base in, you know, these close games that you can lose by one run quite easily, I don't ever know is exactly the right way to respond to an inside pitch.
Tough, man, because you saw it backfire against the Yankees and the Orioles. When Victor Rodriguez hit Gunnar Henderson in the back after Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres were both hit on the hands up and in. I think they both stayed in the game that night. I'm not sure. But you saw them retaliate the next day. Gunnar Henderson gets on. I believe he stole second, then scored the go-ahead run. Yankees end up dropping 2 of 3 to the Orioles, their division rival. So I certainly understand the argument against it, but I do probably have more bloodlust than you on the show, especially when it comes to protecting a superstar player, a cornerstone player, one that when he gets hit on the elbows now hasn't played in 3 days. You know, and the only thing that kind of bugs me is this: is it doesn't need to come from Mike Shildt. So again, I don't want to alibi Mike Shildt here entirely. But it doesn't. It should not have to come from him. It should not have had to come from Bob Melvin. It should not have had to come from Jace Tingler. And it should not have had to come from Andy Green. It really should never have to come from the manager. The veteran pitchers, or let's be honest, the veteran position players need to say, hey, man, are we good with this? We're not? Okay, then let's let them know we've got that pitch, too. You always hear
money. That's all you gotta say. I got it.
Don't worry about it. Johnny Brito, we've got guys, Ben, that can go in and dot Rhys Hoskins on the hip and, you know, say, all right, let's, just so you know, we've got it in our arsenal as well. But again, that's the part for me that I've never really seen here is the guys kind of step up and say, no, this is not going to fly.
Now, does anyone think that Fernando Tatis Jr. was being thrown out intentionally? To me, it's simply the strategy for Tatis is bust him inside and then try to get him on the outside slider. That's the best way. It's not always effective, but
I don't know that Aaron Judge was thrown at intentionally either, but he's a superstar that got hit in the hand.
The question, so my question is,
in a rivalry game,
does retaliation, knowing that the San Diego Padres are a team that's not going to stand for this, and if we throw inside, they're going to throw inside at us, is that going to stop anyone from throwing inside at Tatis?
I
just don't think it's going to. If that's the way to get him out, they're going to continue to throw inside.
Well,
regardless of what the Padres do or do not respond.
Well, that's like saying I don't want to go to jail for assault, so you can just keep punching me in the face. It's fine. I don't want to throw a punch here. You just keep hitting me, and I'll just sit and wear it. Over and over. And again, it's not the first time. You know,
are they going to stop punching you in the face if you punch back? I just think now you just have two people who are boxing and punching at each other, but I don't think it changes anything. Tatis will face inside pitching probably his entire career,
Pitching is different than, you know, where he gets pitched. Like, they're throwing inside, sure, but they're going up and in. Up and in is off limits. And, you know, the funny thing is in a retaliation scenario, you don't actually have to go up and into their guy. You just have to dot him on the shoulder on the butt and say, we got it too, man. Like, it's not like you tell your pitchers to cool it and we'll cool it and everything's cool, right? After that. But I just think, you know, the Mike Schilt needs to order a hit. Bit. I don't know that that exists anymore. Also, you know what? That is what's kind of embarrassed me about this team over the last 6 years of covering them with you guys, is that it never should be on the manager. It should never be on the manager. A player should see that and go, this isn't happening. Like, then the manager is kind of absolved of like, oh, no, man, just, you know, got away from him. I mean, it happens all the time. The game has policed itself for 100 years, and you don't need the manager to do it. It needs to come from the veteran leadership on the team, the veteran pitching staff, letting guys know that, like, if Yelich got dotted, you don't think he goes into the clubhouse and tells whoever hit Tatis, hey, just watch it, man. Come on. I don't want to sit up there and wear pitches because you can't control your fastball. Yeah, I think there is an effect of that. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Back in the 70s and 80s, bro, every other hitter, they'd just go right after. Like, that didn't fly back then. So, again, man, he's a huge, huge piece of this team, this lineup, this city, everything. And he spends a lot of time on his ass. He does, and he has for the last 6 years.
I guess I would think it was a bigger problem if I was hearing any rumbling from the Padres, like, that they feel like they're a team that doesn't support each other, that no one cares about. And that's not the sense I ever get from the Padres. Even in the bad season last year, really wasn't a lot of, like, talk, like, guys that didn't have each other's backs or anything.
You know, there's an infallible way to show that you have your teammates' back, and that's it. And again, please don't misinterpret that I'm calling to hurt somebody or ruin somebody's career. I'm not. There's a right way to do it. I've said that 1,000 times. Like, you do not have to go up and in to Willie Adames or Rhys Hoskins or, you know, their best players. You do not have to go up to near their head. You don't have to go up near their shoulders. But you do need to go at their hip. You know, and it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad when you get hit in the butt. I don't have a lot of cake back there, but it still doesn't hurt that bad. You can wear it and you walk down first and know this is part of the game. And, you know, I think once he wears it, he goes back into the clubhouse and lets his guys know. Hey, because again, back when pitchers had to hit, it was a little bit different story. But yeah, man, it's just kind of a bummer to see. And like you said, well, I haven't heard any rumblings of them, you know, not getting along or not having each other's back. I'm not saying this is a rumbling that's happening. I'm just saying that they haven't done it to this point. They have never, you know, defended this kid. And let him know, like, yeah, you're important to us.
I think this is kind of spicy. I'm curious to know what some of the Tier 1s think on this issue. And we have some time coming up in our next hour. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. We can open up the phone lines a little bit. 833-288-0973. Want to talk some Padres baseball with Ben and Woods. We'll also need to talk a little bit about those games on Friday and Saturday. Two guys with almost identical haircuts. In Jackson, Maryland, Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah.
Getting some big, big offense done for the San Diego Padres over the weekend. Talk about all of that coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!